IELTS Listening Practice Tests by IELTS Success Group. Copyright 2021. This material may not be copied. IELTS Listening Practice Test 4. Section 1.
Meriwether Lewis and William Clark were perhaps the two most famous explorers of the American West. In 1804, the two men began an expedition westward across the area of the United States that was then known as the Louisiana Territory. And along their way, they encountered unknown people and harsh climatic conditions. Lewis was born on August 18, 1774, in the state of Virginia. Clark was also born in Virginia, although he was 4 years older than Lewis. The two men met when Lewis joined the local militia, of which Clark was in command. During their experiences in combat, Lewis and Clark made a long-lasting friendship. United States President Thomas Jefferson had been Lewis's neighbor, and when Lewis was a young captain in the army, he received a letter from Jefferson offering him a job in charge of an expedition to explore the western country. On February 28, 1803, the United States Congress finally approved the financing for the expedition. At this time, Lewis told President Jefferson that it would be preferable to have a partner for the rigorous journey westward. With Jefferson's permission, Lewis offered the assignment to his friend Clark. In terms of their backgrounds, abilities, and interests, Lewis and Clark had a great deal in common. They both possessed many traits that would prove to be crucial for such a daunting expedition. They were intelligent, courageous, and loved adventure, and, because of their time in the army, they were calm under pressure and able to make important decisions quickly. The journey that Lewis and Clark made was more than 8,000 miles in length and lasted for nearly 2.5 years. The team charted their course by following the Missouri River, and they were responsible for discovering the Northwest Passage. When their expedition had safely concluded, President Jefferson purchased the Louisiana Territory for $15 million. Tragically, Lewis died at the age of 35, only 3 years after the expedition had finished. Clark lived a long and prosperous life in the state of Missouri, where he died peacefully in 1838. It is commonly believed that both men are worthy of laud and praise, providing later generations with an example of heroic patriotism and nationalistic vision.
That is the end of Section 1. Section 2.
Cancer, a group of more than 100 different types of disease, occurs when cells in the body begin to divide abnormally and continue dividing and forming more cells without control or order. Importantly, all internal organs of the body consist of cells, which normally divide to produce more cells when the body requires them. This is a natural, orderly process that keeps human beings healthy. However, if a cell divides when it is not necessary, a large growth called a tumor can form. These tumors can usually be removed, and in many cases, they do not come back. Unfortunately, in some cases, the cancer from the original tumor spreads. The spread of cancer in this way is called metastasis. There are some factors which are known to increase the risk of cancer. Smoking is the largest single cause of death from cancer. 1/3 of the deaths from cancer each year are related to smoking, making tobacco use the most preventable cause of death. Choice of food can also be linked to cancer. research shows that there is a link between high-fat food and certain cancers, and being seriously overweight is also a cancer risk. Cancer risk can therefore be reduced by cutting down on fatty food and eating generous amounts of fruit and vegetables. Skin cancer is the most common type of cancer for both men and women. Repeated exposure to the sun, through sunbathing for example, greatly increases a person's chance of developing this kind of cancer. As a general rule, it is usually best to avoid the sun during the midday and early afternoon. But when this is not possible, one should be sure to use protective sun-blocking creams. Cancer is now the second leading cause of death. 1/3 of all women and 1/2 of all men will develop some form of cancer during their lifetimes. Yet, millions of people have been successfully treated for cancer. The sooner cancer is found and treatment starts, the better one's chances are for successfully treating the cancer and living a long and healthy life.
That is the end of Section 2. Section 3.
The study of the philosophy of human nature is often regarded as an investigation into the meaning of life. This subject usually deals with 4 key problem areas: human choice, human thought, human personality, and the unity of the human being. A consideration of these 4 problem areas can also include scientific and artistic viewpoints on the nature of human life. The first problem area, human choice, asks whether human beings can really make decisions that can change their futures. Conversely, it investigates to what extent the individual's future is fixed and predetermined by cosmic forces outside the control of human beings. In the second problem area, human thought, epistemology is considered. Epistemology means the study of knowledge. It should not be confused with ontology, the study of being or existence. The third key issue, human personality, emphasizes aspects of human life that are beyond mental processes. It takes a look at emotional, spiritual, and communal elements. Importantly, the study of the communal aspect focuses on community and communication, rather than on government or the philosophy of the state. Finally, the fourth problem, the unity of the human being, explores the first 3 areas more fully and asks whether there is any unifying basis for human choice, thought, and personality. In other words, while the human is an inherently complex being, there must be a unity or wholeness underlying these complications. The study of the philosophy of human nature should enable an individual to contemplate more deeply vital human issues, including an engagement with political, cultural, and social debates. Not surprisingly, the works of Plato and Aristotle are generally regarded as the foundation for this subject.
That is the end of Section 3. Section 4.
The Olympic Games have a long and rich history. The first official Olympic Games took place in Athens in 1896, although experts point out that there is evidence of ancient Olympic Games taking place as early as 776 BC. Athletes in these ancient games competed on the plains of the Greek city of Olympia. The ancient Olympic Games were part of a religious festival and continued for nearly 12 centuries, until banned by Byzantine Emperor Theodosius in 393 AD. The ancient Olympic Games consisted of several athletic events. Perhaps the most grueling sport was the pentathlon, an event which included five parts: running, jumping, wrestling, boxing, and the discus throw. The ancient games also included equestrian events, such as horse and chariot racing. While women were forbidden to compete or even to enter the stadium during the ancient games, many female athletes compete in various events in today's Olympic Games. In addition, although only Greek-born men were allowed to compete in the ancient games, men and women from all over the world come to compete and represent their countries in the modern Olympic Games. Nowadays, the Olympic Games are governed and organized on an international level by the International Olympic Committee, known as the IOC. The IOC establishes the program of events and chooses the city in which the games are to be held. On the national level, each country that sends athletes to the games has a national Olympic committee that oversees the participation of the athletes for their country. The opening ceremony of the games is held in a stadium in a major city. After the parade of nations, in which the athletes march around the stadium to represent their host country, the athletes take the Olympic oath. The games, which are said to promote friendship and understanding among nations, then officially begin.
That is the end of Section 4. That is the end of IELTS Listening Practice Test 4.